Part 3. The Brinale Opera. The Brinale language is very melodious, and the Brinale people have a natural affinity to music. It is, therefore, not surprising that their singing is often very pleasing to our ears. What is surprising, though, to a degree that at first I hardly trusted my ears, is to hear them sing melodies that are reminiscent of nothing so much as of Italian Baroque opera. There is an explanation for this, of course. Sometime in the late 18th century, a ship fell victim in the archipelago to storm and reefs, which had on board an Italian opera company on their way to a tour through Australia, which they never reached. Many of the passengers and crew drowned, while others had the bad fortune of landing with the ship's boats on a cannibal island, where, after the natives had mated with them and, in the case of female passengers, had waited for the resulting children to be born, they unavoidably ended up in the cannibals' bellies. The occupants of at least one boat, though, and fortunately among them several of the singers, were lucky and reached the shore of a slaveland island, where they were given a cordial welcome, after which, as is their wont, the slavelanders carefully assessed the skills and possible uses of their new slaves, and turned out to be delighted at the artful singing some of them knew to perform, of a kind that they had never heard before. It seemed to them that in this singing they heard the voice of the goddess. They embraced this new vocal art eagerly, incorporated it into their own culture, and the unique art form of the Brinale opera was born. While the arias sound strikingly familiar, in other regards the Brinale opera is very different from ours, and probably draws from local traditions which date back to long before the arrival of the Italian opera singers. The Brinali know only few kinds of musical instruments, namely several types of drums, pipes, flutes, and simple string instruments which resemble lyres, and the music that is played on them sounds entirely strange to us. Amazingly, though, after some getting used to, it turns out to harmonize well with the bel canto-like opera vocals. Brinale operas are always performed outdoors, under the open sky. The stage is a simple raised platform, and, with few exceptions, the only scenery is a large table, which can serve a variety of purposes. On this stage, all the main characters appear in duplicate, dividing the singing and acting between them. The singers, always at the right side of the stage, seen from the audience's perspective, and the pantomimic actors, which also may include a few extras who do not have corresponding vocal roles, at the left side. Now I have to come to the part which, I am afraid, may severely scandalize the sensibilities of our compatriots. All the performers, including the musicians, who are located at the back of the stage, are stark naked. Or nude, which in slave law society is a very different matter. Slaves are naked, free people are nude. But here is not the place to elaborate on this distinction. Only when they step off the stage, during scenes in which they do not take part, do those of them who are not slaves don light gowns. And finally, I have to mention one last peculiarity of Brinale opera performances, which, if they had occasion to watch it, would certainly scandalize our compatriots even more. But let me just say that to a Brinale, the pantomimic acting at the left side of the stage, when it comes to scenes of sexual intercourse, torture and death, is no more offensive than, for instance, it had been to a highly civilized Roman spectator at the circus games, to see a gladiator or a naked slave bleed to death in the arena. Part 4. The Courtship Gift. The Courtship Gift is one of the most popular Brinale operas, and during my 2-year stay in the Brinale Archipelago, I have seen at least a dozen performances. All of them, of course, on Slaveland Islands, to which the Brinale Opera, like all higher forms of Brinale art, is confined. Allegedly, the plot of The Courtship Gift is based upon true events, though I allow myself some doubts as to whether this is in fact any more the case than with the plot of, for instance, Romeo and Juliet. What is true in both cases, though, is that these dramas convince the audience that they could have happened, and thus The Courtship Gift gives us valuable insights into both the Brinale slave law and cannibal societies. It must be taken into consideration, though, that the Brinale opera is strictly a slaveland art form, created by slavelanders and aimed at the slaveland audience, who, as a whole, have little, if any, first-hand experience of life among the cannibal tribes. Note, for instance, the aria of the cannibal warrior in the first scene of the second act, where he elaborates on their own culture to the cannibal princes. Clearly, this is done for the benefit of the slavelander, who listens, like our own public might do, with a mixture of revulsion and fascination. As a work of art, The Courtship Gift exemplifies many of the characteristics of the Brinale opera. A Brinale opera always consists of a sequence of arias, which to a large part are soliloquies. If they are to be understood as being voiced aloud, the counterpart at whom they are directed is always addressed in the first line. In other ways, too, the opera takes care to help the audience follow the plot. Each character, at their first appearance, introduces herself or himself, and the first aria of each scene always explains where and when this scene takes place. The Brinale opera, like most of Brinale poetry, is in free verse, the length of the lines varying according to dramatic purpose. In my translation, I have attempted, as far as possible, to stay true to both the rhythm and the meaning of each line. Let this work, which I have brought back from my 2 years in Brinale, take you to this unique place with its magic, its horrors, and its beauty. But take this trip at your own risk.